Psalm 91. Psalm 91. I'll let you find it, and then I'll say a couple of things, and then we'll look at the 91st Psalm. Good morning, well people. It's good to see you here. Hope you're feeling fine. Okay. Let me let you meet some folks. I think you know Mary, but let me not take it for granted. Pal, would you mind standing just real quick? My wife, Mary. We have three kids. Will and his family will be here tonight. They're over on the coast this morning. And then Wendy lives in Northern Virginia. She and her husband live there. He's a lawyer. And then Wren and her husband, Nathan, live on the ranch. And they work in business, he does, and in music, she does. And then Aaron Walker has been called into evangelism. Aaron, would you and Jackie mind standing just a second? Aaron and Jackie Walker. Aaron and Jackie, all right? And so they'll be helping here today. He's come on the Florida trip to learn all about being an evangelist from Will. He's come to learn from Will how to be an evangelist. And so we're glad to have Aaron and Jackie. They have been at the ranch a year? 3 years. It just goes so quickly, doesn't it? And you've been married how long, Aaron?
A year and a half.
A year and a half. Okay. Were you at the ranch before you were married, Jackie? No, you were. Okay. And you guys met at school, right? Or at the ranch?
At the ranch.
Okay, I've been wrong with everything I've said thus far. But I've learned a lot this morning. Okay, let me mention two books on the book table. As you know, these books belong to the ranch. They don't belong to us or to the Walkers or to Will and Cena. Here are two books. First Light is new. This is the second edition of First Light. It's a devotional. 365 devotions that Will has written. And there are also some extra devotionals in here for Christmas and some extra devotions for New Year's. This is really a good book. It's a great deal. Do any of you have First Light Volume 1? Does anybody have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6? Okay, good. Well, this is Volume 2. We don't have Volume 1 with us, do we, Mary? Will does, but we don't have Volume 1, but we've got Volume 2. This book is 15. By the way, it's really good. It's really good. If I were a pastor, I'd get this book because every devotion has ideas for sermons. Isn't that true, Pastor? And everybody's wishing you would use them. But at any rate, all right, so that's that book. And then Says Who is Lauren's book. This is Will's daughter, and it's on the book of Genesis. It is well written. She is really quite a writer, and it's interestingly written, and it's a good book. My favorite chapter is 8. You are not cast out. Lessons from Hagar. It's just really a good book. It's inspirational. It's a blessing, and so look at that. Now, this book is $15, all right? Now, you got this. This book is $15. This book is $15. But today, and today only, if you get both books, it's $26. You following this? 15, 15. If you get both books. Does this sound like Walmart or what? All right. So you can get both books for $26, a savings of over $500. Some of you are going, wow, that's good. All right. All right. So those are there, and they'll be here this morning. Will be here tonight. He'll be speaking tonight. And Cena will be singing. And she will be accompanied by Aaron on a guitar. It's just really, it's beautiful. You'll enjoy it. It's really, it's well done, and she'll be singing tonight. I had offered to the pastor that I would be willing to sing this morning, but he said the schedule was too crowded. So there won't be any room for me to sing this morning, but I am going to sing when you folks sing, all right? Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou see, or behold and see, the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver Him. This is God speaking now at the end of Psalm 91. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. Will I satisfy him and show him my salvation? Wonderful psalm, isn't it? Sometimes called the soldier's psalm because it deals with protection from great danger. In the late spring of 1940, 300,000 British soldiers, along with about 40,000 Allied soldiers, were trapped in Dunkirk in France, a city on the English Channel with marshy beaches. On the 21st of the month, the King of England asked for people in England to pray for the soldiers trapped there. The Germans were only 12 miles away, and there was no seeming hope of victory for the British troops and their allies. But God did answer prayer, and three miracles happened at Dunkirk. Sometimes Dunkirk is referred to a day of miracles, and there were three that happened. Number one, Hitler and his generals decided not to send tanks into Dunkirk. They feared the marshes and thought the tanks might get bogged down. Number two, a fog covered Dunkirk and the English Channel. England could not send large ships because the Germans had sunk ships in the harbor at Dunkirk, and so only small ships could get through. And the fog covered the rescue effort. Number three, the English Channel, which is usually a boisterous sea between England and France, was as smooth, they say, as glass for the 9 days that the rescue took part. The King of England, or the leaders in England, asked that Britishers take boats of all kinds to Dunkirk to rescue the soldiers trapped there. 700 small boats in 9 days rescued 338,000 soldiers. A miracle indeed, would you not say? And they say that as the British soldiers boarded the small boats that would take them to safety, many of them quoted Psalm 91. Now, isn't that interesting? They didn't have Bibles. They quoted Psalm 91. One writer says that 400 soldiers being rescued not only quoted Psalm 91, but some of them literally shouted or yelled it out. Now, Psalm 91 is quite a psalm. And it's a good psalm for us today. And I want us to see three things about Psalm 91. And we have to see three things because this is a Baptist church, isn't it? So we have to have 3 points. I thought about four. I thought about two. But I thought, no, it's an independent Baptist church. We'll have to have three things. Now, when pastor speaks, there's usually 15 things. But we're just going to see three this morning. All right, number one. God and the psalmist in Psalm 91 recognize the existence of danger. The psalm recognizes that danger exists. The noisome pestilence referred to in Psalm 91 is calamity. The terror by night would be more mental, perhaps, than physical. Because thou hast set thy love upon me, he said, I will deliver you, promise delivery from legitimate problems. The word devastation, or the word here, wasted, means devastation. So you have devastation, you have calamity, you have mental anguish there mentioned. And we know of other things in our day and time, dangers in our day and time. Let me just mention a couple. Number one, we live in a dangerous world, do we not? Where there are countries who consider themselves enemies of the United States. And while it's a little hard for me to get my arms around this, there are people on this globe that would like to see the United States of America wiped out. And if they could accomplish that, they would. So there is danger abroad. There's danger here at home. I don't think there's any question but that the riots and the lawlessness in our streets has been real. It's unbelievable that 800 people were murdered in Chicago last year. Many of them young people. Many of them people who caught, quote, stray bullets, quote, close. A sad day, isn't it? There's great lawlessness in our streets. And I hate to say that, but in my lifetime, it's probably more true now than it ever has been. And politically, we see corruption, do we not? And I don't just mean with one party, although I would lay the blame primarily on one party. But if you just use the name Washington, there are all kinds of shenanigans. Are there not? So politically, we live in one of the most dangerous days we've ever lived in. I've had two people this morning tell me that when they got up this morning, they heard either about a tornado warning or just the fact that we have the conditions for a tornado. So we're sitting here in Sunday school thinking the building may be gone before I finish point number three. I hope I can get to point number three because it's quite encouraging as we go up in the tornado. But at any rate, they do exist, do they not? So weather exists. You know, I stopped listening. This is true. I stopped listening to the news. It's probably been 30 years ago. Now, I do have news sources, but I stopped listening to the evening news 30 years ago. You say, Bill, why did you stop listening to the news? Because I like to be happy. And they never report anything that makes you happy except the story of the dog that was rescued at the end of the newscast. Is there good news out there? Well, yes, there is, people. It's just that we never hear it. It's just like, have you ever heard a weather forecast on a local TV station called Nice Weather Report? No. But you've heard Storm Weather Report, haven't you? I don't know. We just have a bent towards talking about all the terrors of the day. Now, they do exist, and Psalm 91 recognizes that awful things do happen. So they do they not? I don't think our thinking should be dominated by that. I don't think we should live always as if we're under a blanket. But it's fine and proper to recognize the truth, is it not? So typical of the Bible, Psalm 91 recognizes dangers that we face. Number two. My goodness, we're already on point number two. Number two. Psalm 91 promises deliverance. Look at verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Then surely He will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. So that deliverance or protection from danger is promised to God's people. Now let me just say this again so that you can hear it again, all right? Protection and deliverance is promised to God's people. Are you a God's people? All right. Then protection is promised and provided for you. Now, somebody says, Bill, what kind of protection? Well, against mental anguish, against physical dangers, against all kinds of dangers which we face in this day and time. They're promised. Now, here's the million-dollar question. Somebody says, Bill, has God always promised to deliver us from every danger that we face? That's a fair question, don't you think? Has God promised to always deliver us from every danger that we face? And I think the best way to answer that, there is an answer to that question. I think the best way to answer it is the way my uncle, who was a preacher, answered this question. When asked, is it always the will of God to heal? Now, it's a different question. Don't misunderstand me. Is it always the will of God to heal? It's different than, will God always protect you from harm? So, but the first question and its answer help me to understand the second question and its answer. You with me? All right. So when asked, when Uncle John would be preaching, and he would ask the question, is it always the will of God to heal? He would say no. Now that's obvious, people. I hate to discourage you about this, but that's obvious. If it was always the will of God to heal, how would I ever get to heaven? I enjoy life, but I wouldn't want to live to be 3,000 years old. I'd be older than most people in this room if that were the case. So I don't want to live forever. Seriously, wouldn't you like to go to heaven, which is far better, far greater? All right. So it's not always the will of God to heal. But Uncle John would say, it is often the will of God to heal. And he would add, I think it is normally the will of God to heal. And then he would set about to prove it. And here's the way he would prove it. He would say, how many of you people have ever been sick? You had a headache, or your chest was bothering you, or your tummy was upset, or your knee wasn't working right, or your foot felt awkward, and you asked God for healing. And maybe you took medicine, and maybe you went to the doctor, but you asked God for healing, and He gave it, and you got well. And all of us would raise our hand. You following the question? How many of you had something in your head, your chest, your tummy, your kneecap, your foot, and you asked God for healing, and God gave it, and you got well? Well, all of us would raise our hands. And then He would say, how many of you people have ever been sick? You had a headache, or your chest was bothering, or your tummy was upset, or your knee wasn't working, or your foot seemed like it was not in proper action, and you asked God for healing, and He didn't heal you, and you died? Well, of course, nobody would raise their hand. Well, you say, yeah, but some people do die, do they not? Well, of course they do, but I used to love that question. There were two reasons. First, I love the humor of it. It's fun, isn't it? All right, I love the humor of it. Secondly, I love the sense that it made. Yes, it's true that there may be a sickness that will take you to heaven, but you've already been through many who didn't, or which didn't. Isn't that true? So then, is it normally the will of God to heal? Yes, I think normally it is, and we could always ask for it, couldn't we? And all of us have been healed. How many times have you been healed from some malady, some sickness, or some disease? Wouldn't it be many? All right, how many times have you been protected from some danger? Do you think, look, I'm 79, you're supposed to go, no, Brother Bill, this cannot be possible. Well, it is possible. And so I'm living in my 80th year. Now, I won't be 80 till next December, but I'm in my 80th year. Let's assume that in my life, once a month, God delivered me from some danger. Would that seem reasonable? That would be almost 1,000 times. Did you know that? What if it were once a week? That's, I think, more typically correct. What if God protected me with His angels from some danger once a week in my life? Do you realize that would be over 4,000 times that God has protected me? Now, how many times has God protected me? Well, I would suggest that it's closer to the 4,000 number than it is to the 1,000. Does that make sense to you? Let me ask you a question. Now, you don't have to raise your hand because I already know the answer. But let me ask you a question. If you have a driver's license, how many of you have ever run a stop sign? Wouldn't that be everybody? If you have a driver's license, how many of you people have ever run a red light? Wouldn't that be everybody? Now, I have help in running stop signs. Sometimes I miss a stop sign and don't see it. But if I miss the stop sign and I don't see it, and I'm coming close to the stop sign, a great pain encompasses my right leg. And I know there's a stop sign here. You say, what causes the great pain? It's Mary hitting my kneecap with a hammer and saying, Bill, there's a stop sign. Okay, so have you ever run a stop sign? Yes. Have you ever run a red light? Yes. Are you aware of the fact that people have died because they did nothing more serious than run a stop sign? Has God protected you? Has God protected us? And has God protected us hundreds of times, if not thousands? That's what Psalm 91 says. He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. So has God promised deliverance? Now look, let's be rational about this. Is it possible that I could leave the building this morning, get in a vehicle to go to lunch, and be run over by an 18-wheeler? Is that possible? Yeah. But here's the truth of the matter. Even if some calamity or some devastation took my life today, God has preserved me through hundreds of them. It is God's intent to protect you. Jack was a Marine. He still is. I know him. He was in Helmand Province in Afghanistan in the southern part. And with other Marines, they were performing searches for the Taliban. One day, Jack and his squad, I think there were six of them, there may have been four, encountered what they thought was four of the enemy, and they engaged them in fire. Well, they thought there were four Taliban, but there turned out to be more than 20. And they would almost surely have been overrun except for a Cobra chopper that came in and took care of the enemy. 2 days later, there were six in a squad that were going to go out on a mission, and Jack and his buddy were to provide what they called overwatch. Jack was a sniper. And so the idea was to get into a place where they could see where the squad was traveling to overwatch, to protect them from the enemy. Well, they saw a house that was 500 meters off, and he and his friend made their way toward the house. When suddenly they came under fire, and they dove into a ditch and returned fire. Well, Jack was hit. He did not know it, but he was hit. But in the ditch, he and his friend saw the blood, and he recognized that he had been hit. So the two of them made it to the house and the comparative safety there. The other six Marines, having heard the fire, came back and took care of the Taliban. When the medevac chopper landed, Jack walked to the chopper. But the AK-47 round, which wounded him, had entered his left arm. It has broken the bone in his left arm. It had entered his chest area and moved across the chest under the skin, centimeters from his heart and from his lungs. It exited on the right side, and he lived through all of it. 1 inch difference in the trajectory of that bullet would have taken his life. He came back to the States, finished his tour, re-enlisted as a second lieutenant, and is now a captain in the Marine Corps. But here's the interesting thing about the story. Jack didn't know the Lord. He wasn't saved. He came to Christ after he came back to the United States and re-entered the Marine Corps as an officer. Now, let me ask you a question. Did God protect Jack, yes or no? Well, obviously. Did God owe him protection? Was he dwelling under the shadow of the Almighty? Had he chosen the Lord to be his defense in life? I would say the answer to that is no, no, and no. Wouldn't you say that? Let me just tell you something. God loves to protect us. And God has protected you. And there is a sense in which I would say, if the Lord allowed my life to come to a close today, I could not accuse him of not protecting me. He'd just take me to heaven, wouldn't he? But practically speaking, God protects us from evil. So number one, Psalm 91 recognizes the trauma that we face in this day and time. Number two, God has promised to protect us. Number three, the key is in verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And then following, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Because thou hast made Him, that's the Lord, because thou hast made Him, who is my refuge, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. we ought seek to live under the protection of Almighty God. We ought seek to live under the shadow of the Almighty. And two things. I'd mention two things. Number one, we ought ask God for protection. You think that would be wise? He's promised it. We ought consciously, I would say daily, ask God for protection. We do face a lot of stuff, don't we? Okay, so then let's ask God for protection. Number two, we ought thank God for His protection. We ought be thankful. You know, I have a little bit of short patience. I'm short on patience for everything, but I'm short on patience for a person who's always down in the dumps, always worrying, always seeing the bad side of everything. I know there's a bad side to everything, isn't there? But when you say there's a bad side to everything, what does that, from what can you infer from that? If there's a bad side to everything, there's another side, isn't there? That would be called the good side. All right. So we ought thank God for His goodness. Now ask yourself this question. How long has it been? Now stop and think about this. It's all right. I'm not beating you over the head. Just think about this. How long has it been since you said, "Lord, thank you for taking care of me yesterday"? You say, "Well, I don't even know of any great dangers I faced yesterday." You may not, but God does He not? All right. And all things being equal, you probably did. If you live and breathe in this day and time, that's dangerous, isn't it? If you drive a vehicle in this day and time, that's dangerous, isn't it? If you go to church, that's dangerous, isn't it? Yeah. All right. So you can't live without facing danger. I think we ought to be thankful. You know, Mary and I travel, I can't be sure, but between 40 and 50,000 miles a year. Probably nearer 50 than it is 40. And most of those miles we drive. Very occasionally we fly, not very often. I hate flying. If God had wanted us to fly, He would have given us wings. That's what I think. All right, so I love driving, and Mary and I both enjoy travel, and that's all fine, well and good. But normally, when we begin a trip, often when I'm just driving to town, but almost, I would say always, when we begin a trip, we ask for two things: safety and efficiency in travel. I think efficiency brings safety, and I think safety allows you to be efficient. So we ask God's help. Well, I don't know, a couple years ago, we were making the trip back from West Branch, which is in northern Arizona, to the ranch, 1,600 miles. I've made the trip. Mary and I have made it probably twice a year for the past 20. And we'll be going there in March this year. All right, so we were coming back from West Branch, and we drove on the ranch, and I thought to myself, you know, yesterday we asked God for safety and efficiency in the trip, and He gave it, didn't He? Because we're here. And so I just thought, well, I'll thank the Lord for that. And so more often now than ever in the past, when we get to where we're going, I just thank the Lord for being able to be there. Now, I just want to say this. I just need to say this. I hope I'm not killed this afternoon in a car wreck, because it'll ruin my Sunday school lesson for most of you if I do. But if you're thinking, you would think that could be possible, and I would still expect God's protection and provision. Isn't that true? All right. So we ought ask God for His protection. We ought thank God for His protection. And we ought live under His feathers. We ought live trust in God. Now look, I know there are wise things for us to do, and I think we can do many of these wise things, and we should. I think you should look for stoplights. I think you should look both ways before crossing a railroad track. I'm not opposed to any of that. I think we should be careful about transmitting or getting a cold or something, quote, even worse, quote, close. I understand all that. But let me tell you something. Safety is of the Lord. And if you're going to have safety, ask Him for it. And rest in Him because of it. And thank Him for it. Aren't we a thankless group of people? How many of you folks are over 40? Can I see your hand? That's just about everybody. Aaron and Jackie and part of your family, Pastor, and a couple people in the back row are under 40, but all the rest of us are, shall I say, older. Okay, well then, hasn't God been good to you? Does God ever take a... I hate to say this, but it's a fair question. Does God ever take a three-year-old to heaven? Sure He does. Sure He does. Did He take you when you were three? No, He didn't. So you ought to be thankful. And by the way, when you and I get to heaven, we may find out that we didn't do really a whole lot better than the three-year-old whom God took to glory. God is good, is He not? And God knows what He's doing. I'm just saying we shouldn't be thankless. Part of fret and worry comes because of thanklessness. You know, years ago, I was encouraged when leading a person to the Lord to ask the person who was trusting Christ to thank Christ for saving him. And the thinking behind that is, if you trust the Lord, and He said, if you trust me, I'll save you, then you can put it down, you're saved. And thanking Him for that is an encouragement. And I think it stirs up in you assurance. So thanking the Lord for saving you, I think, if you've trusted Christ as Savior, thanking Him helps with assurance. Well, you know, thanking God for His protection helps with assurance. You don't have to spend all your life worried about everything. Now, if you want to worry, if you want to worry about stuff, worry about it. Probably, I would say, if you want to eat it, eat it. Eat what? Whatever. Yeah, but it's dangerous. Fried chicken, when the chickens have been on steroids or whatever it is they're on, is dangerous. That may be true. And if you want to be careful about anything and everything, have at it. I'm just saying that safety is something that God is in charge of. You're not. Having common sense is important, is it not? And being careful is important, is it not? All right. But let's trust the Lord. Let's trust God. Somebody says, you know, Bill, a lot of people have died of COVID. And I know that. By the way, I hate the word, don't you? I just hate using it because, I'm sorry, but some people, it just delights them to hear it. Yes, COVID. We're all going to die. Well, we are. Did you know that? We are all going to die unless the Lord comes first. We're all going to, and the outcome is the same. Now, what would be funner, I think, to go up to meet the Lord in the clouds in the air than to croak. I think it would be funner, but who knows? I've never croaked before. And I suspect that God in His goodness provides, well, I don't suspect, I know God provides for the death of His saints. He delights in it, does He not? You know, I lost a friend last Friday. She's this wonderful lady, about my age, and she died from cancer. And we thought that maybe she was cancer-free in the summer. You know how cancer is. It's just, it's rough. And turned out she was not. And so she went to be with the Lord on Friday. And I said to her husband, who's a dear friend, I said, you know, Donna has seen Jesus. You and I haven't. Haven't you heard about Jesus all your life? Yeah, so have I. I've talked about the Lord Jesus all my life. I've never seen him. Oh, you say, but you see him in the life of others. Listen, I have never seen Jesus Christ like Donna has. And I grieve for her husband. And there is a sense in which I grieve for us, because we all love Donna. But I will see her again, and it'll be sooner than later. But while I grieve for us, there's really no reason to grieve for Donna. She's doing just fine. You know, heaven is as much a person as it is a place. The Bible says, to be absent, help me out with this, to be absent from the body is to be present with the... Okay, so somebody says heaven has gold streets, and it will. And heaven has emeralds, and heaven is beautiful. Let me tell you something. Heaven has the Lord Jesus. And when you get there, you're going to be able to sit down, I mean this, and one-on-one converse with him. God's good. God protects. Let's live like it. Let's bow for prayer, shall we? Father, thank you for loving us, and thank you for your protection on our behalf. We ask for it today. And we rest in your strength, knowing that you are the God of all power. And you love us, and that's an amazing thing, and we're very grateful for it. Help us to live in light of that. Thank you for these wonderful folks who've been able to get out on a rainy, many in the church sick kind of day, but what a joy it is to meet with your people in this place. And so bless in the service to follow and in the service tonight, we pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Okay, Pastor, are we finished? We're finished. We'll see you at 10:30, right? Okay. God bless you. We'll see you.